pedal.
Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this very rainy, wet Seattle day. We're talking today about living your dream, not thinking about it, not wishing things were different, not planning a dream, but actually living your dream. And my guest today is someone who played a pivotal role in my life, even though she was totally unaware of that fact until I called her a few weeks ago to invite her on the show. But before I introduce her, I want to kick off today's show by asking you some questions. I want to ask you if you are fully expressing who you are in this life. And if not, what would your life look like if you were? If you were doing the exact thing that made you completely happy, what's the greatest achievement you can imagine yourself accomplishing? And maybe the most critical question of all, what is the greatest you that you can imagine being? My guest is Joyce Chapman. She describes herself as a dreamer, a coach, teacher, speaker, and author. She's been involved in education, motivational training, consulting, and coaching for businesses and individuals on an international level for more than 40 years. She's done much more than that, but I'm going to have her tell us a little bit about her journey in her own words. She's also the author of If I Had Three Wishes, Journaling for Joy, Notice, The Art of Observation, and the book that we're focusing on today, Live Your Dream, Discover and Achieve Your Life Purpose. Joyce Chapman, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very excited to have you here because we met a long, 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 long time ago in San Diego when you were on book tour. And I didn't know you, but I'd heard that somebody was coming to the brand new Borders and talking about living your dream. And I was in my bank job and I was desperately looking for a way out and I wasn't terribly clear on what I wanted. And so I thought, well, I'll go along to this book signing and meet this author and, you know, see if this book's any good. And it really helped me turn things around. So I'm very pleased to have you on the show today. And I know that you were a public school teacher. You taught or you were director at an independent school, private school. And then I think at the age of 51, you actually went back to school to live your dream. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So tell us what happened.
Well, many things happened. my family, my kids got a little bit older, and we could talk about that more later. And I knew that there was just something inside of me that wanted to do more. And I call it now, I just reawakened that bigger dreamer in me. I'd always been enthusiastic and, you know, always striving to do something new, try something new. And yet I did have a strong feeling that there was more for me. And something that was very powerful, I tell the little story in my Live Your Dream book as well, and it changed my life. I was at a conference, an educational conference, and sitting in a big round table, and a gentleman across from me said, hello, and who are you? And I had a name tag on, and I, you know, slapped the name tag and said, Joyce Chapman. And he went, uh-huh, but who are you? And he kept saying that, like, I would say five times. I don't remember exactly. And then finally I laughed, realizing he was, you know, being playful with me. And I sat up straight in my chair and said, I'm here to change the world.
Well, there you go.
And it was you know, then, of course, I laughed, and he laughed, and we all had a good time. But that was an important shift for me. And I look back on that moment and realized that I was claiming something not better, but just different than where I'd been before.
Right. And we all have these turning points or shifts, but we don't always recognize them at the time. It's not until oftentimes we look back and we can say, okay, that was a turning point for me. Mm-hmm. What happened? What then led you to going back to school?
Well, many times I would go out to places and visit with people, and I'd be talking about, you know, some of the work that I was embracing, which is journal keeping and doing workshops called Live Your Dream, and actually different titles of that as well. Your Life is Your Choice is what I called it in the beginning. And I realized that, there just needed to be some changes going. And that was it.
Okay. So were you working full-time, I think, when you went back to school?
Yes, I was working full-time, and I just decided that, and another thing I almost forgot to tell you, I'd be challenged, you know, like, what are your credentials?
Mm.
Not only who you are, but how can you prove who you are? And I realized that having a master's was going to help.
Okay.
And that was a wise decision, because I just learned more and became clearer and clearer. A lot about living your dream is clarity.
I think that's so true. Mm-hmm. So you must have had some challenges along the way. I think, you know, many of us wait until we think we've got the perfect conditions before we act on certain things, on our dream. Obviously, if you have to work full time and go to school to make it happen, you were very determined. But we all have challenges along the way. What were some of the challenges you faced that you pushed through?
I think, and you're probably going to smile when I say this, Vicki, that there were only 24 hours a day.
Right.
And that was, you know, a big challenge. And that did lead me to something that was very vital in the work that I do even today, and that was to learn to schedule. And it sounds a little bit boring and a little bit dry, but the truth is that if you're going to live your dream, if you're going to become all of who you are, if you're going to follow your passion and all that good, you are going to have to schedule and put it on your schedule, which may sound funny, but it's true.
No, it's something I think we don't do. I mean, there's certain projects that I keep pushing back because nobody else cares if they get done or not. But they're coming more to the forefront now. But it's too easy if you don't schedule them to let them slip by.
And then another big challenge was, in a sense, finding people to believe in that I could do it. And then I also realized that, you know, it didn't matter.
Mm. Why do you think so many people get stuck in, you know, we're all caught up, everybody's busy, everybody's trying to keep a roof over their head, they've got kids to juggle, they've got their kids' schedules to juggle, their own schedules to juggle. How does somebody break through all of that and start putting things into motion? Obviously, firstly, they have to have clarity, right?
The old saying that one step at a time gets you to the destination, you know, that you want to reach. And it doesn't have to be a huge step. You know, it can literally be, I'm going to sit down for 5 minutes and write my list of to-dos in order to reach my dream. And it can really be 5 minutes, sometimes 3 minutes. And then you'll feel like you've done something that leads you closer to what it is that you really want and what you really say you want.
Mm. Let's back up a second, and because many people get to a certain age, and I have friends who say, oh, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And we all laugh about it.
Yes, but that's a favorite of mine, too.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's an element of sadness there, because we should all, you know, hopefully be living our potential. And I remember, a long, long time ago when I was married, and my husband was a very talented musician, and I said to him one day, I really envy that you really, really know what your passion is, because at that time I didn't. I hadn't identified mine. So how do you go about working with people, or what should people do if they're in that position and they know they want to change, they know they want something different, but they just can't identify what it is that they're looking for?
I call it going into my coaching mode, and in a sense, giving myself permission, if I know I have it and they've asked me, you know. It's just to ask wonderful questions that, you know, well, what if somebody gave you $10 million? What would you do? And usually that also gets a chuckle and a laugh and an answer, you know.
Right.
I would climb that mountain. I would write that book. I meet a lot of writers, so it's like I would write that book, you know, is a very common dream that I hear. And then another wonderful question is, what's the worst thing that could happen? And people also stop and usually laugh again and go, I could I could not get there, and I, you know, we'll laugh together, and I'll say, well, that's true, but you know what? You'll be in a new place, or
right.
a new space, so to speak.
Right.
And it's just daring, you know, it's just, in a sense, like daring to be a little bit more of who you are every day.
It's also admitting to yourself what you want to do, because I can remember by the time I met you, I kind of knew what I wanted to do, but I was still afraid to admit it to anybody. And I do remember coming up to you, and you signed my book, and you said to me, you asked me a question, and I remember saying to you that I want to be a writer. And you said to me...
I didn't remember that, Vicky.
No, I'm sure you don't, because there were lots of people there. But you had this big twinkle in your eye, and you looked at me and you said, Vicky, you are a writer. And then I'm going to let our listeners know what you wrote in my book. You wrote, Dear Vicky, every word you put on paper is a gift to the world. Share your gifts and talents now. Love, Joyce.
That was good, huh?
But that was the first time that I publicly had admitted it to anybody.
And that's often, you know, going all through all the questions so far, that's often the very first step.
Right.
You know, the admitting, the claiming. You know, in a sense, like, dare to whisper out loud, I want to be a great dancer, you know. And, you know, I do have a whole section in my book that talks about, you know, let the writers be great writers. Let the dreamers be dreamers. Let the farmers be farmers, you know. Cooks be great cooks. And just, it really doesn't matter, you know, what the dream is. It matters that you live it.
Mm. One of the very important steps that you talk about is under defining your dream, once you've defined it, is visualizing your dream. And we hear such a lot about visualization, but I am such a believer in visualization. It's such a powerful tool. And you have people make a dream board.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm going to fess up. I felt really silly when I was making my dream board.
Oh, I'm so glad you're human.
I thought, well, this is really silly. And you know, I haven't done this since I was 7,
yeah,
you know,
sorry.
And I was making this collage of pictures. But I put it up in my bedroom. It was the last thing I looked at every night. And I desperately, as I said, wanted out of the bank environment. And I wanted to be an independent writer, etc. And so that was the last thing I saw every night before I went to bed. It was the first thing I saw in the morning. And all of a sudden, I realized I had achieved every single thing that I'd put up on my visual board, on my dream board. So I think it's such a powerful tool. So I wonder if you'd share your input on that, what a dream board is all about.
Well, it is a powerful tool. And even the process of making a dream board that I call dream board, and it is a collage. It's a collage of what you want. And I started that notion in my workshops because, as a teacher, which you might guess, I've made a lot of collages with children, you know, cut out pictures in books, and they'd drawn pictures. And it seemed to be always a fun day, an inspiring day, and so I just carried that over as I started to work with adults. And what it does, again, is that, you know, say you're thumbing through a magazine and you're going to cut out some pictures and you see a picture of enjoy Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, you know, I always wanted to go to Italy. And because nobody's going to really care or judge your dream board, you cut that little saying out and that maybe that little picture, and you put it in your pile of things that you're going to add to your dream board. And again, it's that, you know, that is something I want. Most people, and, you know, I'm almost like hesitant to say most people, but the truth is most people don't dare to dream. Most people live, what I say, a comfortable life. And being a dreamer, you do have to be welcome being uncomfortable from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just putting on a costume that's a little bit different than the one you wore yesterday, that type of notion. But the dream board, it truly is an inner journey towards defining what it is you want. One of the best questions I ask clients is, what do you want? And again, you know, sometimes keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? And I encourage people to put that little voice in their head too. What do I want? You know?
And sometimes that will come to us just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just putting it in our mind, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
And it's bringing forth, I'm a believer, I'm a believer in that we really do all know what we want and what we need to do, and you know, what we could strive for. And yet most people, again, they just don't ask.
Right.
And there's, you know, just ask yourself, what do I want? What another great question is, what do I love to do? You know, if I love to sing and I'm not singing, what does that say about my life?
Mm.
And so as I was making a dream board, I would, you know, put something on there, just maybe the word sing, you know?
Right.
And it's a very powerful tool. And as you know, there's been a great deal of research, as I'm sure you're aware of, Vicki, and most of your listeners too. The visualization does work. And I think we probably first heard about it with athletes.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
See yourself reaching that dream, reaching that goal that you're setting for yourself. And there's something, I don't know that anybody really knows the something, but there's something in that that then leads you towards those, you know, the realization of those wishes, hopes, and dreams being met.
Right.
And there's also that maybe it doesn't come, but you know what? Something comes.
Right. Now, you wrote this book originally quite a while ago. I believe it was mm-hmm. 1990, and then it was your second edition, I think, was 2000?
2002.
And you also have a workbook that goes with it. And I did go through the workbook, but it is a lot of work. So I think people have to be really committed to want to do that, to go through. But if somebody's feels it's too much work, is it really necessary to go through the whole workbook, do you think?
Well, necessary, no. Ideal, yes. One of the ways to make it fun and easier is to find somebody that wants to do it with you. And I call that type of person a dream partner. In fact, I just met two people that talked to me at a vacation that I was taking, and they said, you know, how do we start? And I said, first of all, you buy my books, and then you get together and you ask yourself really hard questions. And they looked at me and I said, and you didn't get up yet, so can I keep talking, you know? And we laughed. And I'm really strong. I know it's just wonderful to have somebody who is aligned with you.
Yes.
And who asked you, like, you know, what did you do today to live your dream?
Right.
And, you know, you said you wanted to go to Italy. Joyce, did you, you know, have you started packing? And just fun things like that. Make it playful. Because as you have said, and if you've looked through it, it's not the easy path. But on the front of my cover, and you probably can see it right in front of you, it's called a step-by-step program.
Yes, yeah.
And I feel very strongly that that's true, that it is, you know, start with those awakening the dreamer inside of you and then going within again and defining that dream.
Mm.
You know? And those questions that you asked in the beginning are so wonderful. And I'm a questioner. I have people in my life that say, don't ask me another question, you know. But that's what I'm good at. And I love to ask questions because I am good at listening. And I think that's where the person personally gets involved with listen to yourself.
Right.
You know, that's why I'm a strong believer in writing it down. And that's, you know, the workbook came out of the workshops that I did, and also people saying, you ought to put that in a workbook, which made me laugh. And then I went, I should.
Well, no, I definitely agree. They go hand in hand. They uh-huh. do definitely go hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about how we deal with some of the negativity we are faced with when we try to make these significant changes in our lives.
Okay.
All right. Well, my guest today is Joyce Chapman. Her book is The Live Your Dream. Her book is Live Your Dream, Discover and Achieve Your Life Purpose. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sweet dream, baby. Sweet dream, baby.
There's something for everyone on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Join us Monday, December 10th for a remarkable husband and wife comeback story with special guest Kelly Perkins. Determined to live life on her own terms and with someone else's heart beating in her chest, Kelly Perkins shocked the medical world by climbing some of the toughest mountains in the world. The Climb of My Life is a true testament to courage, love, and the relentless desire to live. Tune in Monday, December 10th at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
The Art of Constructive Living is alive and well on The Gary Mance Show, Tuesdays at noon. It's your personal power lunch with a variety of experts serving up fresh ideas to take you from where you are in life to where you want to be. Sit down to a banquet for your brain, and I'll pick up the check. Join me every Tuesday at noon for The Gary Mance Show, right here on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Everyone loves an attractive, healthy, brilliant smile. From Julia Roberts to Tom Cruise to Halle Berry. Nowadays, a gorgeous, healthy smile isn't just for the rich and famous, you know. Tune in to Dr. Q's Smile Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 2, and find out how you, too, can achieve, maintain, and tap into the power of a brilliant, healthy smile this holiday season and beyond. Dr. Q's Smile Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 2.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Love the music, Mr. Ryder there. Thank you so much.
Gotta love Roy Orbison.
I do, actually. He's got a very good voice. So we're talking today about living your dream. We're not talking about thinking about it or planning about it or wishing things were different. We're talking about living your dream, how you can go to living your dream. Joyce Chapman is my guest. Her book is Live Your Dream, Discover and Live the Dreams. Discover and Live the Life of Your Dreams. And as we heard in the first section of today's show, Joyce has gone through that herself and has been living her dream for the past, 15 years now, I'm guessing, Joyce?
Long time.
Maybe longer than that.
Longer than that.
But I want to talk about an issue that comes up whenever we make changes as human beings. The people around us sometimes can see that in a negative way. They can feel threatened or feel that you're moving away from them. Or some even feel jealous because they haven't fulfilled or realized their own dreams. How do you recommend that people deal with that kind of situation?
That's such a good question, and I'm sincere about that. The one thing that I have learned from personal experience is that you just have to give yourself permission that somebody's not going to stop you, that their comments, their beliefs, their values are different than yours, possibly, and they're allowed to have them. So it's, in a sense, and I see the picture, actually, of literally stepping aside and going forward. And I know that, and it is in the book, as we talked about before, but I know it is extremely important to know who I am and what I want. And when I know my beliefs, my habits, my values, my motivators, it doesn't have to be in agreement with somebody else. It just has to be true for me. And I love my family and the people that are in my life, and I would never do anything consciously to harm or stand in their way in any way. And I just ask their permission, may I do this? And sometimes I've even heard no. And then I actually, because I think I have a good sister, but I'm about to go, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And that is actually a fun, we talked at the very beginning about turning points. That actually happened in my life, and it was a very important turning point. Because the person who was questioning me had never asked me permission to do something. And it was really a glorious moment. It's like, I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to write this book. I have to, teach this program. I have to be on this radio talk show. There's no other choice for me.
Right.
And so knowing yourself is probably, you know, the one of the most important points to, in a sense, acknowledging that somebody's viewpoint, their desires may be different than yours. And in a, as I said before, never in a wrong way, just that this is who I am and that's who you are. And I see that dreamers can live side by side very, very comfortably and very powerfully as well. Because if you do what makes your heart sing, then I can do what makes my heart sing.
And wouldn't we all be happy if we did that?
Wouldn't that be
We'd
fun?
Be a bunch of canaries, yes.
I'm about fun.
Well, yeah, life should be fun. I mean,
and another really powerful question that I ask myself and I ask others too is, when something comes in your, you know, stands in your way, or a person is negative towards what you want to do, ask yourself, the dreamer you, how is this perfect? And what I mean by that, and of course you can ask me anything to build on that, but it's like, okay, if somebody says you can't do that, how is that a perfect comment for me to hear today? Well, you would already guess this. I would stand up straight and say, yes, I can. I say that as my two-year-old self. You know, I call the terrible twos terrific twos, because it is when, you know, it doesn't really matter what other people think.
Right.
And I believe you know this, Vicki, but there's nothing in me that would, you know, do something in spite of something. But there is a lot in me that says I have to do it.
Right.
Because if I am going to realize my dream of inspiring millions of people to live their dream, there are things I'm going to have to do that might not be totally comfortable for somebody else. I believe a lot of it is about comfort and uncomfortable.
And that's what it's about, isn't it? Taking your power, standing in your power, as they say.
There's
actually a saying I like. I think it's by Maya Angelou, and she says something like, you can't make others feel better about themselves by reducing yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's very true. Yes. You share a story in the book, and I think it was one of your personal stories, if recollection serves me right here. But you share a story about finding the perfect drapes, and your husband said to you, do they really have to be those drapes? Because you were having a hard time finding them. And you turn around and said, well, yes, because if I settle for anything less, then I'm not truly living my dream. Do you remember that story?
Oh, I remember that moment.
So even things that are seemingly insignificant to others can make the difference between you really standing out and living your dream as you wish it and compromising.
Yeah, compromising is an important word as you're looking at all of this. I absolutely embrace the idea of not settling. And I highly recommend that that no one has to settle on this planet Earth. And we can all live together, you know, in a peaceful environment, which, of course, the ultimate would be the ultimate. And I love to say, you know, imagine a world where every human being is living true to who they are. Every living human being is living their dream.
Yeah, and we'd be much happier.
Well,
I believe we'd be much happier.
I mean, you know, we have some greats that I think we all lean towards, the beautiful words, the beautiful thoughts, the beautiful paintings, you know, the things that they've left behind. And I think that that's important. And so it's like never selling out is another way to put it. Never selling out to make somebody else's experience more comfortable.
Right.
You know, and just do it and go for it. You know, those wonderful quick sayings, which are easy to say, but sometimes harder to live.
Yeah, you talk about defining your values, and I wonder if we could just spend a couple of minutes on that, because that is really where we start with anything like this when we're trying to change our life, is being true to our values. And I know I was recently in a situation that compromised my values, not in an unlawful way, but in a way that I said yes to this situation, which I won't go into, but then I went.
Oh, come on, tell us.
Well, I can't because it involves other people.
Okay.
But it, you know, it's a common situation that we all get ourselves into, and I said yes, and then I went away, and I just had this like pit in my stomach. And it got worse as the day went on and as the weekend went on. And I finally called on Tuesday and said, you know what? I made a mistake and I have to say no.
That's great.
So let's talk a little bit about how we define our values to keep us on track. How does somebody start with defining what's really important to them in that way?
Well, one of the things, and as you have mentioned that you looked at the book, but I think that one of the very first questions to ask is, what, you know, to find out what my values are. If somebody walked up to me and said, what are your values? Well, I'd know mine, but not everybody would. And it's like a good question to start off is, what do you find yourself doing most? You know, do you, this is like just going down to the basics, but do you like a neat and orderly home? Well, then you value neatness and order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you like to have a healthy lifestyle? And your answer is yes, then you value a healthy lifestyle. And it, once again and over, you'll hear me say this. It's like asking yourself, you know, who am I? What do I stand for? You could tell who I am by watching me live my life. You would know that what my values are. Because I live true to my values. First, you have to know them, though. First, you have to, you know, like you say, you went through, I'm sorry, Vicki, I remember several days maybe of realizing that you couldn't do something,
mm-hmm.
that it just wasn't right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called integrity.
Yes, and that, I do value integrity.
Uh-huh.
I do value integrity a lot.
And in the book, and of course, you can read these many other places, I have a list of, I think, probably about 20, 25 values. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to read a couple of.
Yes, please do.
I have my book right here. We just mentioned integrity, freedom. I have to stop to say something about freedom. You know, if you totally embrace and value freedom, there are probably many jobs that wouldn't work well for you. There are probably many types of relationships that wouldn't work for you. You know, and on. And so to be true to who you are, you just have to stand up straight and to say, you know, I value my freedom.
Right, right.
And if you value nature, then you probably love to be outside. And you probably like to be part of nature. And you're going to have a guest on next Monday that is the epitome of a lot. The quick thing that I read of what we're talking about. So if you value, you know, if you value life, you want to live it.
You just hit on all my all my value. I love nature.
Wait,
I love freedom.
And you know, and on and on and on. And you know, when I talk about power, if you value power, I don't really mean power ever mean power over somebody, but personal power.
Mm.
You know, I get to fully express myself.
There's a terrific, you share a lot of stories in the book. And
I have lots of stories.
Yeah, and I particularly like this one. I can actually remember when I read this and it almost brought me to tears because this is just how I felt. I won't read the whole thing. She gives an explanation in the beginning about how she's become tied to the house and possessions, blah, blah, blah. But then this was the bit that really got to me. She said, what I really want after all these years of respectable responsibility is to be a free spirit. Now that I can do whatever I like, I want to be a gypsy. I want to pick up and go on impulse to new places. I want to travel all over the world without a schedule or a return reservation home. I knew I had to let go of a lot of stuff. So, and that was kind of at the place I was at because I'd had years of stress and over responsibility. And when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh. It really hit a nerve.
It resonated.
Well,
as you started to read, I got a picture of the person that shared that story. She's still in my life.
Mm.
And she did make those changes. She did step out of her, you know, not bad or old self, but she just went into a new self. And she still loves to call herself a gypsy. And that was many years ago.
Mm.
And I love thinking of her as a gypsy because it's who she is.
Yeah.
You know, the wonderful poem about I'll wear more purple. You know, it's that type of self-expression that is so powerful.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you on my visual board, on my dream board, when I was, you know, still stuck at the bank, my pictures were all about freedom. My pictures were all about free spirit. My pictures were all about travel. You talk a lot about habits that sabotage, and this is very important because even though we say we want something and we want it badly, many of us can sabotage ourselves. In fact, I think almost everybody does in some way. What are some of the most common sabotaging habits that you see in your work, Joyce?
Probably the most profound that I call it screams out at me is that a person says one thing and does another, and that's a very simplistic way to say it. I realize that. And yet, you know, if you say you want a healthy body and then eat all sorts of junk food, you're so incongruent, and so you're sabotaging that dream, that little part of your dream that you want for yourself. And most sabotaging is done by oneself. You know, you're standing in your own way.
And you're not, if you're doing something like that, you're also not living in congruence with your values. So
totally.
what is that doing to your self-esteem?
It's totally making you feel like not worthwhile, you know. It's like, you know, like I'm just a loser. And I doubt many of your listeners think that, but if they do, step out of that today, you know. It's like, no, you're just maybe not on the path that you say you want to be. There's no, in my opinion, there's just no one that can't live their dream. And I also believe, and I don't think we've talked about yet, that everybody does have a dream.
They do. I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to go into that some more. And I have quite a few things I want to try and squeeze in the next 20 minutes.
Okay, I'll have fun answering.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
The American Cancer Society says that 98% of Americans know someone with cancer. Yet few of us know what to say or how to make it easier on someone we love. Author and cancer survivor Michelle Rapkin provides inspirational insight into the questions that loved ones should ask, what they should expect, and how patient and family members can navigate through the critical decisions they must make. Join us Monday, December 17th at noon for Any Day with Hair is a Good Day. On Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for more information or call Vicky at 800-495-7617.
The Sisters of the Moon series, urban fantasy at its best, by USA Today best-selling author Yasmin Gallinor. Camille, Delilah, and Manali, three sexy, half-human, half-fairy sisters, are out to save two worlds, one monster at a time. Romantic Times magazine calls the Sisters of the Moon series vivid, sexy, and mesmerizing. And Publishers Weekly dubs it a whimsical reminder of fantasy's importance in everyday life. Buy Witchling and Changeling from your local Borders, Barnes & Noble, or online. Look for Darkling coming January 2008. For more information, visit Gallinorn and Visions at www.gallinorn.com.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show at its new time, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. We're talking today to Joyce Chapman. Her book is Live Your Dream, Discover and Achieve Your Life Purpose, and the workbook that goes with it, the Live Your Dream workbook. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And we're talking about making your dreams come true, not about planning, but about actually living your dream. And Joyce, you are a big proponent in doing it today, not waiting for perfect conditions, but every single day you do something that moves you closer.
Yes. It's a huge component for me. So, you just, in my opinion, you really can't put it off.
So if somebody's...
The wonderful, wonderful idea of, like, you know, if this was your last day on Earth, I don't see that as a negative question at all. I see that as a very empowering statement, because as I hear that, okay, if it was your last day on Earth, Joyce, what would you be doing? And guess what? I'd be talking to you. And so it's like, you know you're the right, you know you're in the right places if you feel more alive, if you feel more of who you are.
Yeah. I think one of the key things when you're going through a transition is to stay open to new possibilities. Because I remember when I left San Diego and moved up here and made a career change, etc. There were certain things that I had planned to do and I thought I would enjoy them, and I actually didn't enjoy writing that kind of stuff or working with a certain kind of group. And other things that I'd never thought about, and I thought, well, okay, I'll try that. And I found out I just loved it. I just loved it. And I remember actually going down to the drum festival here in Seattle once to do some filming on a little school project. And I was cursing all the way down there because I did not want to go out and film this drum festival. And when I got there, I absolutely loved it and found I really loved working in the field. So I think being open is really important to people.
Being open, yeah. Open to new possibility. That's, even the word is fun to say, possibility. Because if you dream it, you can have it, And if you start that road, it's... little paths go all around it and open up for you.
I've heard people say, oh, well, I have a dream, but it's, it's little, it's insignificant. There are no such things, right?
No, there are no such things.
So talk to me about that. If somebody's feeling that way, how would you work with them to turn that around?
Well, how would I work with them is I call it, tell my clients, let's dig deeper there. And by going into, it's like, okay, and those questions that we've already talked about, it's like, okay, if today was your last day on Earth, what would you be doing? And just, and often a truth comes through when you ask that question. So it's a lot about daring, a lot about risking, a lot about being willing to be a fool if that's what it's going to take. Or to be willing to find out, hey, I really did like that experience. And just going forward, always just going forward.
And sometimes we can have the opposite thought, that this is going to take so much work. I've got to do a complete overhaul of my life. And somebody can feel so overwhelmed, they make no changes. And so they stay stuck in whatever it is they're doing, just dreaming about living their dream. How do you start working with somebody like that to change that thinking around?
Probably being playful in the beginning. It's just like, so if I describe you to your friend, this is coaching now, Vicky. This isn't who I would talk to on the street. But somebody has asked me a question like you just asked me. It's like, okay, do you want me to write on your tombstone, it was just too hard? Or do you want me to write on your tombstone, someday I'll live my dream? And what I always get back is laughter. And go, no, no, Joyce, that's not what I want you to write on my tombstone. And I say, okay, well, then let's go back and see what the steps are. I do really believe that this is about one step at a time.
Right. You said earlier that everybody has a dream.
Yes.
Why do you think so many people are not living that dream?
Life circumstances. They might have to change, as you mentioned just recently, and it's like that's too scary for me to change. after all, I have, you know, a mortgage to pay and all of those things. And then my question and coaching would be, okay, well, what can we do so you can live with that fear, so you can live with that and still go forward, still go towards the dream? And it's really an exciting journey to open those doors that you're afraid to open. And everybody that opens the door sees that.
Right, right. Let's talk about this. When somebody's on their dream track and things can change, or as in my case, they find they don't necessarily enjoy doing one aspect of that, but they do enjoy doing something else. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about revisiting that dream, keeping the dream alive and letting go of dreams that really have died, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's called being human and going forward from one dream to the next. And if it doesn't work out, then let it go. You know, if you found out that, say, oh, there's, I think it's a wonderful story in the book, that, and you said you like the stories about a woman who felt that she wanted to be, you know, sing in public. And then finally she gave herself permission to arrange to go, you know, be on stage for just a night. And when the experience was all over, she realized that's not what she wanted to do. She just wanted to go on once, and then that was very satisfying. So she went back. Actually, her profession is writing. And she went back with total abandonment that she did. She loves to sing, so she joined a choir. You know, so she fully expresses herself in a different way than she thought.
Yeah.
That she wanted to. And so it's like that. Those, as you said, sometimes it takes you in a different direction, and then you find out that this isn't what I wanted, but this is what I want.
Right,
but see, if you don't take that direction, you won't find that out, and then you'll stay not stuck, but often stay stuck in, you know, well, maybe someday I'll do that. You know, writing is a good, it's just such a good profession, a good dream to talk about because it's just so real. You know, so what if nobody buys your book? You write for yourself. You know, the first comment I got when I said I was going, this won't surprise you, that I was going to write a book, the comment was, why would you want to write a book? There are millions of books out there already. Guess what that did for me?
I always used to hear, well, you know, you're giving up a...
Did you just dare me to write
really?
A book, okay?
Really?
And, of course, that is my personality. You know, you tell me I can't do something, and I just might have to prove that I can.
And 17 years later, and this book is still in print.
Uh-huh. And it really is, and I'm still getting wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people coming into my life out of this work, and I, you know, and... It's what I love to do.
Right, and that raises a good question, Joyce. If you were actually giving these books away, who would you give them to? Who did you write these books for?
Well, I wrote these books for, in the beginning, for the adult that wanted to live your dream. And now I see that it's a very powerful tool for parents, so they can define their own realities and define their own dreams, and then that... Then they become very good role models for their children. If I had permission to give them away, I'd probably give them to schools first, middle school kids, you know, from like sixth grade on up. And I would probably have to tailor them and the question somewhat to their level of desires. But young people, you know, you ask many, many young people, they know what they want to do. They likely might not know exactly what they're going to have to do to get that, but they do know. What, you know, you said right in the beginning, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's a great question. Whoever said that was very, very wise. So young kids and teachers to start asking these questions. And, you know, who do you want to be? What do you want your legacy to be?
Mm.
And I love asking people, do you believe in having a destiny? And often I hear, yes, I do. Well, what do you think your destiny is? You know, and then laughter and, oh, my gosh, I don't know. And, well, let's figure it out.
One of the, some of the exercises in the book take you back to your childhood. You do a childhood timeline. And I personally found that very powerful because I realized that, especially when you work in a very structured corporation, all corporations are different, but if you work in a very structured environment, you have to often adapt your personality so much to fit in and survive that I realized how much I was playing a role that was not me just to keep my job. Why do you think it's so important for people to go back and visit their childhood and remember who they were as children?
It's the self-inventory that a person gets in touch with. You know, I loved being up in a tree as a child. This is about me.
Right.
I loved climbing a tree as a child. And as I took a look back at, okay, what was that about? Well, it was about freedom. It was about my values, you know, as we talked about before. It was about being alone. I like to be alone. It was about exploring nature and exploring, you know, how high the tree was and what I could see from the tree. And so I'm an imaginary person. I'm imaginative, what I meant to say. And so I knew I needed to evaluate imagination. By taking a look back into my childhood, I had to acknowledge that that's who I was. And although I didn't ever work in a corporation or you know, what you just described, I did work in a school system, which is a business in a sense. And what I realized is that I had to create. I couldn't be told exactly how to do something. And by looking back into my childhood, I realized, of course, that's, and I love the idea of that's in my DNA. I have to be the person that tries things.
Right.
I have to be the person who likes adventure because those are things that make me feel alive. And I like to feel alive. Do you, Vicki?
Oh, I certainly do. I told you during the break this is actually a very timely. Maybe that's why I called you when I was looking for guests. But, you know, I'm making some significant changes in my own life.
Oh,
and so it's actually very timely for me to revisit what I wrote several years ago and, uh-huh. you know, see where I've come and where I want to go because I have changed direction in some areas. I think the childhood, going back to your childhood and doing that timeline of your life is, mm-hmm. is also very powerful because you can see the times in your life when you were acted upon versus where you took action yourself, you
Absolutely.
Know, where you chose a job or where, you know, you just took the job because you needed money and how that spanned out. And I think that's one of the most powerful outcomes of that particular tool. What do you think, what do you say to somebody whose fear is getting in the way of them starting? You know, we get in that comfort zone and it can seem very fearful to step outside of it.
Well, I have to answer with the title of Susan Jeffers' book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Because for me, that's just a powerful, powerful notion that I cannot, and I'm not going to let fear stop me. And doing it anyway. Just do it anyway.
Any little tips for pushing through that? Any little affirmations?
Well, another, as we mentioned before, it's like having a partner. Having somebody that says, yes, Joyce, go for it. Yes, Vicki, do it. What is it, Vicki? What is your dream right now? You know, it's that playfulness. It's that, you know, take my hand, I'll be with you. And I think we can really, every human being can really feel how that helps to be supported and empowered and sometimes challenged. You know, a good coach, whether it's an athletic coach or speech coach, voice coach, dream coach, does that.
All right. Well, that's a great note for us to end today's show on. Joyce Chapman, I thank you so much for being with us. Let's please give out your website to our listeners.
It's my name, www.joycechapman.com.
Okay. And the book is Live Your Dream, Discover and Achieve Your Life Purpose. And Joyce has got lots of information on there. And I believe she's got a an online circle on there. Check out her website and take a look at that. There's quite a bit of information up there. And I want to thank each of you for joining us today, for listening in. You can check out who's coming up next week at the website, or you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. Call me at 800-495-7617 if you have any feedback on today's show. That's 800-495-7617. And I want to leave you with a quote, of course, by Ruth Friedman, one of my favorites. Only those who dare truly live. Thanks so much for joining us today. Please stay tuned to find out what's coming up next week. And join us next Monday on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
There's something for everyone on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Join us Monday, December 10th for a remarkable husband and wife comeback story with special guest Kelly Perkins. Determined to live life on her own terms and with someone else's heart beating in her chest, Kelly Perkins shocked the medical world by climbing some of the toughest mountains in the world. The Climb of My Life is a true testament to courage, love, and the relentless desire to live. Tune in Monday, December 10th at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Views expressed on the